Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, we've all been revelling in the grand stretch for the last number of weeks, and indeed it's getting more pleasant as the days go by. But this coming weekend, the clocks go back an hour, meaning it won't be quite as bright when we're getting up, but the evenings will be longer. But where did the custom of daylight saving start, and is it still of benefit to us now? Well, I'm joined by Professor David Malone from the Department of Maths and Statistics at Maynooth University. Good morning to you.
Morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you for joining us. This is a surprisingly controversial subject, isn't it?
It's quite a lively discussion. I guess any time you ask people to get out of bed in the morning a bit early, you can always expect a bit of resistance.
Bit of kickback. It all goes back to 1916. Will you tell us about that?
Sure. So the 1916 was the first time people actually tried doing summertime. It was brought in first. It was, of course, the war was going on during 1916. It was brought in first by the Germans to try and save essentially energy, because if you got up earlier in the morning, you could take advantage of the light in the summer mornings and you could do work without having to burn any fuel or gas or any of that kind of thing. And so the Germans started using it at the end of March, and the UK decided it had better follow suit. And of course, at this point in 1916, we're all still part of the UK. And so come the end of May, we decide we're going to move into summertime, and Ireland and the UK put their clocks onto summertime. But interestingly, it's not the same summertime, because in 1916, Ireland is in its own time zone.
OK. And what was the defining factor for governments setting the time for a country or for an area?
So really, the kind of factors that people are interested in at that time, people like to be up and about when it's bright. And so the previous standards have been, so if you go back into the mid-1800s, people get up when it gets bright. So people set the clocks according to when the sun is up. But throughout the 1800s, the situation is changing. People can move around because of trains, in fact, are a big factor. You can move from one part of the country to the other pretty quickly. And if you do that, you notice that the sun is up in Dublin at a slightly different time to when it's up in Sligo, say. And so that there is a different time in Dublin and Sligo, and that causes you a problem with train timetables and things like that. So people start to adopt a standard time across the country to try and coordinate so that things like trains work properly.
And then there were political arguments at the time, weren't there, both for and against changing the time in Ireland? But ultimately, when we came in line with GMT, Greenwich Mean Time, there wasn't much of a backlash.
No, it was interesting. So very similar to almost how we see it today, organisations like there was the Dublin Mercantile Association, which I think was probably the IBEC of its day. And they were interested on being in the same time as the rest of the UK to simplify commerce. And so quite a lot of people have been lobbying in Ireland to actually move on to the same time as the UK. But of course, it does change the time for people. Dublin is about 25 minutes different in, if you look at the clocks from Greenwich, which was where the UK was using. And so it did change people's time. And if you go further over to the west, of course, you're getting further and further from Greenwich. So the amount that the clocks differ from where the sun is getting bigger.
And there's still a clock in Galway that marks Dublin time.
There is. If you go down, I think it's Shop Street in Galway, and you have a look, there's a clock there marked with Dublin time on it. And so I think they now set it, of course, Dublin time and Galway time are now the same, so you don't have to worry about it. But if you were heading for the train in Galway, it would have been something you would have had to have taken into consideration.
Okay, and the broader picture then, other European countries, what were they doing with their time zones while all of this was going on here?
Well, as a consequence of better connectivity of all of Europe because of trains making it easier for people to get round, people decided that we really needed a more standardised system for running timetables. And I think there were even issues with safety, making sure that only a single train was on a line at a single time. So there was a big conference in 1884, which had set Greenwich to be the place where everybody would set their times from, and people would then work 1 hour from those mostly. So, in fact, Ireland was one of the last places to be hanging on to its last its own time zone in Europe. France had moved to essentially GMT in 1911, and so we were almost the last people to have our own time zone in 1916.
Okay, so let's talk about what happens to people, because the clocks go forward at the weekend, not back, as I said at the beginning of this piece with you, David. They go forward, spring forward and fall back. What is the impact on all of us when that happens?
Well, of course, the obvious effect is that we're getting out of bed earlier. And while I guess I was joking at the start that whenever you tell people to get out of bed earlier, they don't like it, there are real implications for that as well. So it's stressful on people's body. You have to drag yourself up at an hour that's a bit darker that you're not used to. And that does have health implications for people. So people have done studies over the years. They found that just after this period when we change in the spring and we're dragging people out of bed earlier, it means the mornings are a bit darker relative to what we're used to. You find that things like workplace accidents go up for a few days after that. That's probably people being a bit groggy in work. In fact, you even find things like heart attacks. There's an increase in the number of heart attacks in the few days after the clock change. And, you know, that stress on our bodies, having to get up a bit earlier, it's not an entirely trivial thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's also harder to get children to go to bed in the evening times because it's brighter until later.
It's brighter, of course. And I remember trying to cheat my own children by closing the curtains earlier. But
I was even doing that last night and then dreading next weekend when it gets even harder to trick them. So there is a debate on whether daylight saving should stay or go. But it's really a debate that's happening in the northern part of Europe.
It is. It's so we feel the reason that we get this change in the length of the day, which is what we're trying to respond to, it's a sort of natural phenomenon we're trying to adapt to, is that the Earth's axis is tilted and this effect is bigger close to the poles. So we feel it more than the French do. The French feel it a bit more than the Italians do. The impact of it is sort of graded. The northern parts of Europe feel it more. And sort of what we're trying to do in the summer is we're trying to follow the daylight by getting up earlier in the summer, because it's somehow important to us to have more daylight when we get up. When we get that kind of naturally in the summer, but we can take advantage of the brighter mornings by getting up even earlier and getting some more real daylight in our day. And it means we can do things in the evening then, like have more exercise.
So what is the general view? Because the EU did a public consultation on this. Are we in favour of the change here happening?
So there was a big consultation that the EU ran in 2018. It was one of I think it was the most popular thing that they've ever polled the European population on. They had, I think, 4.6 million respondents or something. And it's not a popular thing with the population in general. If you go around, people don't like having their sleeping times disturbed. But there's a sort of subtle question around it of if you get rid of getting up earlier in the summer and going to bed and getting up a bit later in the winter, what are you going to do instead? And that question wasn't really settled by the consultation. They kind of asked us, do we want to get rid of summertime? These sort of summertime, winter pattern changes. But of course, then every country is going to have to decide what to do afterwards. Are we going to all stay in summertime? Or are we all going to stay in wintertime? And the Department of Justice, who are the people who do the regulation of the clocks here in Ireland, ran a consultation a little bit later in 2018. And they found that it was unpopular, the summertime and wintertime switch, but it was also complicated because we have issues like, of course, the North is its own jurisdiction. And they have to decide what they're going to do. And you can imagine crossing over the border into the north and finding the clock has changed.
Professor David Malone, we'll leave it there because time, both summer and winter, is against us because we're late going to the news. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Coming up in the second hour of the programme, Theresa Lamb, Associate Professor at Oxford University and co-developer of the AstraZeneca vaccine, on new data showing it's 100% effective against severe disease. Now, though, let's go to the newsroom and Brian Jennings.